Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exalted be the name of the Lord our God Almighty. For he is wonderful. He is awesome. He is merciful. Our God is great. Our God is amazing. And he is worthy to be praised. Welcome all of you right now that's joining on the live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. On this overwhelmingly beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has created just for us, we bless his holy name. And right away, I want to start with a word of prayer. So let's close our eyes and pray. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. We praise you. You are an awesome, awesome God. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, Lord, for washing us clean through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. Thank you, Lord, for uniting us with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak, Lord, to your people. That you, Lord, will comfort the hearts of your people. That you will, Lord, enlighten, that you will guide, and that you will, Lord, manifest your perfect will in their lives this morning. We give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, in light of everything that's going on right now, there's so much that has gone on just this year alone. We have the start of this COVID-19 thing going around and this virus and everybody's view and opinions about it from left to right, etc., etc., etc. And then we have this election that's going around that I have seen and heard so much about it. A little something about me, I've never... And you might think that I am wrong for this, and you are entitled to your opinion, and I won't be upset if you think this way. But I've never been 100% connected with politics. And one would say, well, Pastor, you should be, because your vote counts. And your voice must be heard and all of this. And I'm not saying that I'm against it. No, I'm not preaching against it. I've just never been emotionally connected with it. That's all. And within the last week, I have just about seen, I think, maybe all of it. From one extreme all the way over to the other extreme. And this morning's message and his preaching is not about politics, is not about politician. I really don't want to talk about it, really. Because I've heard enough about it. And I've just about had it. But I feel led, and I woke up this morning feeling the need to just say a couple of things in reference to all that's going on around us, and then emphasizing who you are in Christ. Just yesterday, I received the word of the Lord, yesterday evening, almost nighttime, which I've added to the final stage here of the walk of wisdom that I have been doing for the past 2 weeks. But nonetheless, back to what I was just saying, There is this term, this saying that's going around right now that I have heard very often. I have even said it myself, which is, the Lord is in control. And there's no need to emphasize drastically on this, because whether we like it or not, the Lord is in control. So that's not going to change. That's not going to go anywhere. Now, I was having a discussion on Friday with a pastor of a church. I've known this pastor for a little while, and he knew my father very well. His church has actually, his numbers count has gone up since the whole COVID-19 thing happened. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Amen. Spirit-filled pastor, a humble man of God, a successful man. He prospers in everything that he does. A man who loves the Lord, who has wholeheartedly dedicated his life to God. And the Lord has blessed his ways. And he comes from an Amish background, right? An Amish background. And he purposely left that Amish background to seek the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has honored him for that. But he still has those old friends. He still knows those pastors, and he's still affiliated very much with, not directly affiliated, but he's still, say, connected with them, right? And they talk. They exchange ideas. And that the Mennonites and the Amish, specifically the Amish, they steer away from politics, tooth and nail. They don't want nothing to do with it. They're peaceful matter of fact, they don't even protest. They're very peaceful. God's will be done. Oh, the Lord's will. The Lord is in control. And yes, that's true. But then he goes and asks this question, because he wants to stir them up. I said, yes, God's will be done. But how is the prayer battle inside of your prayer closet in reference to what's going on right now? What is your prayer battle? How is your time in the prayer closet right now with God? Which ties into some of the things that I've been talking about and some of the things that some preachers that I follow have been saying is that God's will be done, but we have a job to do, and that is to intercede. We must pray. We must fight. We must do what we do. I talk extensively about our armor, our weapon, the soldier's secret weapon. Do you remember when I preached about that about a month ago or so? We have a weapon. We have something. We have an edge that the world out there does not have. So therefore, God's will be done. And he is still sovereign. But the church holds power through the blood of Jesus. Through Jesus Christ. And we must do what we have been called to do. And that is fight. And we will fight. Amen?
Amen?
So that's all I'm going to say about that for now. Now, I'm going to conclude today a series that I've been doing for the past 2 weeks. I didn't know this was going to be stretched out to 3 weeks long. But today I'm going to wrap all of this up. And as I was meditating yesterday and going over certain things, the Lord made me understand that I just need to review a couple of the things that potentially you might have forgotten. So I'm going to briefly skim over certain things that I have already talked about and keep it very minute. I have been talking about the walk of wisdom. And the fundamental scripture that I've used is Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, which we're going to read once again, if I may have that, please. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I have asked this question several times, many times. Wouldn't you love to know God's perfect will? Yes, we all do. We all want to know what the will of God is every single moment of our lives. And the Word of God right now specifically instructs us to not be unwise, to not be foolish. On the contrary, be wise and understand what the will of our Lord is. Now, watching what's been happening for the past week and comparing it to what I have been talking about, say, 3 weeks ago, now I understand why the Lord had me speak about a lot of things. And now I understand why He wants me to bring this back to your attention right now, because it's very important. In the very beginning, I brought out some key points for you guys that will help with the wisdom walk. The first one, we're going to go straight to the scripture. We must walk in humility. That's important. The scripture that I used was Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. I'm ready for that. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. It's very, very, very important that we must have a humble walk. Oftentimes, people will know who you are. They will sense the Spirit of God when pride is removed from the equation. I'm going to keep right on going. The next thing I talked about is the walk of unity. No separation. Is none of this the leftists and the rights and the middles and the backwards and the up front? Put that to the side for now. I don't just preach for Republicans. I don't just preach for Democrats. I don't see any of this. The Lord is one God, one faith, one Spirit, one baptism, one in the name of Jesus through Christ. Praise the Lord. And therefore, unity is a must. The verse here, I want to bring to your attention now, still on chapter 4, we're going to cover a chunk right now, verses 4 through 13. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led the captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who ascends far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is unity. Unity in God. Now, I'm bringing a lot of key things now to your attention. But please don't forget the main purpose of all of this. Wisdom, people. We are still talking about wisdom. Moving on. We must also, in the walk of unity, this is where wisdom comes in. Separation. We are separated. We are peculiar people. We are special. As a matter of fact, we're extra special. We have an edge. We know God. Here we go. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, by past feelings, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You. This is speaking so far about humility, about unity that was spoken about, and separation. This is how we are different than everybody else that's out there. Whether you voted this way, or whether you voted that way, whether you want to see this outcome be like this, or this outcome be like that, let no words come out of your mouth that will not edify the name of the Lord. And this is how we are separated from everyone else. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And all of this is going to cause one thing, and that is for us to walk in love. Not walk in love. Walk in love. Right? Do you understand?
Yes.
I have two verses concerning this. Still in chapter 4. We're going to cover verses 14 through 16. I'm ready for that. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, cause growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Moving straight forward to the next scripture. Now, chapter 5. The very first two verses say this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You see the importance there of the separation, of the unity, of the love that we must represent, especially right now. Set aside everything right now. And now I know it's hard to some people. Some other folks are ecstatic. Whatever it might be. Let's put all of that to the side right now. And be there for one another in love. In love. And the final thing that I want to bring to your attention right now is to walk in the light. Now, on chapter 5, we're going to cover another chunk of verse. We're going to cover verses 3 through 14. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as if fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicators, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We're wrapping all of this now. And still in the subject of a wisdom walk right now. Think about all the scriptures that we just finished reading right now. The word of the Lord. Yesterday, Ephesians chapter 4 had a huge impact on my life. I've read this chapter numerous times, and even going on to chapter 5. But now the Spirit brought me somewhere and showed me everything that's going around, including in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ. And here I say, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Because we have forgotten who we are. And who we are is children of God, of the light, the God of love, the God of unity. And we are challenged to add all these virtues to one quality, and that is the quality of wisdom. When we put all these things into effect, when we bundle all this up in a nice little pretty package, we will know the Spirit of God. We will know the will of God. We will know the heart of God, regardless if the world is on fire right now. We will know God's perfect will. Praise the Lord. So, this is what the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning. Once again, for you that's watching right now, thank you so much for taking part of this. I started talking about the diligent walk as the walk of wisdom. The diligent walk means to observe what you do and see what you do. Be mindful of every single thing. Accurate, diligent, precise. We see in the word circumspectly used there in my opening verse in Ephesians 5. That means watch everything that you say. Watch everything that you do. Don't just blabber out because the Bible calls this foolishness. Unwise. That's the diligent walk that I'm referring to right now, which will proceed with wisdom. Last week I talked about a discerning walk. Walking accurately, perfectly in this world. We must know. We must redeem the time. We must redeem the time that we have right now for our God. With the gifts that He has given us, with the grace, with the Holy Spirit that He has imparted on you, use it for the honor and glory of God. Don't use it to win arguments. Don't use it to prove that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Discern the time correctly with unity and love in fear of our God. And now, this week, in conclusion to all of this, I want to talk about a definite walk. I think I have there in the scripture list Ephesians 5:17. Which is part of my opening scripture here. Finally, Paul says this in Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible clearly here is mentioning that if you don't understand God's will, okay, right now it's being said all over the place. God's will be done. God is in control and all of this. Yes, that's 100% accurate. And nothing is going to change whether we like it or not. But here the Word of God is saying, understand. Understand what the will of God is. Right now. The will of our Lord. You know, the word unwise, right here, means to be stupid. It's what it means. This is literally a copy and paste when I did my research. This is what it means. Or otherwise, here's a much maybe nicer word. Ignorant. Unwise. It refers to a person who thinks himself being wise when actually he knows nothing. This is all coming from right now, this verse that's up on the wall right now, verse 17. If you take this verse in connection with the two that precedes it, you have Paul saying these words right now. Don't run through this world like an idiot. And I venture to say that I have, unfortunately, seen a lot of people walking around lately acting like idiots, if I can say politely. I am not here to insult anyone. I'm using harsh words right now. But we need to bring it back in. We need to know who we are in Christ. There's nothing wrong with us feeling passionate about who the next leader of our country is. No, there's nothing wrong with that. And every opportunity that you have to vote, to throw in your ballot, do it. This is your right. We live in a free country. We can choose. We have the option to do that. So, but lately I have been seeing people literally running through this world like idiots. And they have completely forgotten who they are. They have forgotten their identity. Sometimes it's hard to even distinguish one from the other. Now, as I was having a little time with God yesterday, some alone time, the Lord brought something to my attention that originally I wasn't going to implement it in my sermon this morning, but then I felt led that I need to. This needs to be said. Can I please have Proverbs chapter 11, verses 2? When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Think about this verse for just a moment. With everything that's going around right now, do you see the element of pride? I happen to spot pride all around us and all that's happening right now. People who think that they're right. People who are saying that others are wrong. And everything else in between. And you know, the proud hypocrite deceives himself into ignoring realities in the conduct of his life. That the meek, as described, and a humble person quickly recognizes and takes it into account. The proud person's vanity pushes him into conduct that will end in one thing, as the Bible says right now. And that one thing is shame. It's only going to end in shame. The humble person's attitude, on the other hand, is a vivid contrast of someone who's proudful. For his wisdom prevents him from pursuing the same conduct as a foolish man or a prideful man does. It makes him say, stop. I can't do that. I cannot act the way that they do. I cannot do the same things and say the same things that they do. This in turn produces even more, folks. I'm talking about the attitude of the humble. This in turn produces even more wisdom when good fruits is produced. When you act, follow, do what the Lord instructs you to do, that will automatically give you wisdom, and you will produce the fruits of the Spirit, and you will be set aside. The Lord will use you. You will know God's will if you set aside your pride. and avoid shame. Because all of this reinforces the right decision that you make. This pride seen on the verse that we just finished reading right now in Proverbs 11:2 literally means boiling up. Or we might say puffed up. You pick and choose which one fits best. A puffed up nature, a puffed up behavior, or boiling over with what? Anger, sadness, dismay. The proud person has an inflated opinion of himself or herself and or of his possessions, his abilities, his powers, accomplishments, whatever. This exists because pride has deceived him about his importance, about his opinions. The day is coming soon when everyone's proud ego will be deflated. And man's haughty self-regard will be stripped away. And after it's all said and done, and you look back, can you say it was worth it or not? Was it worth it for me to get into an argument with this person or about that person? For me to stop talking to these people or those groups of people? Was it worth it in the very end? And now, it's very important for us to know that we must remove pride from the equation. Remove all pride. Now, if we are not careful, I also want to bring to your attention right now that we can be trapped into all that's happening around us. I'm going to switch gears right now, briefly, and focus a little bit now knowing and speaking about knowing God's will, being wise. We can be trapped in everyday life, circumstances, business, work. Sometimes we allow the enemy to fill our calendar with all sorts of things. Then oftentimes we wind up frantic from one activity to the next, all the while missing out on what really matters in this life. God did not create us or save us to live a life that is constantly on the move, that is constantly up and down, pulled left and right, going all over the place, way too busy. Oh, I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that. It's overwhelming. This is not the will of God. It is not. And this is something very that the Lord has brought to my attention that humbled me this week. I did not create you and I did not set you aside for you to be pulled left and right all over the place, being caught up with this sort of argument and that type of argument. No, no, no. We run here and we run there with our calendars, with our smartphones, with our schedules, thinking we have to do all these things for ourselves and even for others, and even for everyone else, not realizing that the enemy has baited a trap. And we sometimes take the bait. We allow ourselves to get so busy doing all the things we do that we don't have time to enjoy the Lord. Amen. Enjoy God and all that He has done for us. and all the blessings that he has given us. Hallelujah. Everything. And I know that I'm preaching to myself right now. I know I might be preaching to myself. But we need to learn to say one thing. And that one thing is no. We need to learn to say no. It's hard to do, but it must be done. And instead of running through life like a maniac or even an idiot, we're counseled to be understanding through the Word of God. Understanding of what? Understanding of what the will of the Lord is. And that when you understand the will of God, that is called wisdom. You have the wisdom of God. And now, I know what you're thinking right now. I betcha. Potentially you might be thinking right now, well, how do we understand the will of God? How do we do that, preacher? The basic answer is that we find the will of God in the principles that are taught in His Scripture. I talk about this all the time. You know the will of God through His holy book, and it's still. The Lord was showing me this last week and also in the beginning of this week. They still don't understand. They don't understand this concept, and I don't know if because they don't want to accept it, or they want that microwave dinner, like right now, right here. Quick, zap, zap. Bing. Lord, send me an angel and have him read out of this manuscript. And I want to be sitting down with full focus, with nothing happening around me. Maybe they have this picture in their mind of how they understand God's will. But it's all right there in front of every single one of you right now. That's your Bible. That's how you know God's will. And you know, we have to slow down long enough to read the Word of God, to meditate on it. Because when you stop, when you slow down, when you meditate, only one thing can happen. You understand it. Folks, I'm trying to keep this as simple as possible. You will understand. Yesterday, I was going through, I said, I'm going to go through the book of Ephesians once again. And this time, I'm going to read the ESV version. I'm going to read the simple, common language version. And so many things, and I'm going to slow down. And I'd be reading, and all of a sudden, something just, it almost like I feel somebody grab my arm and go like, you know, somebody grabs you and then pulls you this way. You're walking this way, you walk with somebody, and all of a sudden, come right here. Like all of a sudden, these three verses just pulled, and then I have to go back and read it again, and then slower. And then I'm word by word, and then this connects on to this one right here, and it goes over to that. Now, if I know, oh, I only have one hour for me to write the pastor's desk, or I have only 2 hours before I have to go to sleep so I can wake up the next day because I have to do this and I have to do that, find this research and find the answer to this and write that. Would I have caught that? Would I have understood the mind of God? I would not. Because my agenda, my lifestyle, or now, your current lifestyle right now prevents that from happening. We're still talking about wisdom here, folks, and tying with knowing God's will, which we all want. Now, we must take the time for the Bible. If not, things would just slip away through our fingers and we will miss out on every single thing. We strive to learn all sorts of things, glorying in our knowledge, in our upbringings, in our influences, while we do not take the time to learn from the fountain of all wisdom. And the fountain of all wisdom is the Lord Himself, who is in the book that you're holding right now. The lack of biblical knowledge in the average church, I have found to be astonishing. Our ignorance is proven by the things church members believe and the things that church members say. Especially now in these times where it's, can I just say, controversial? Especially in these times when everything is in disarray. The things that come out of the mouths of the believers sometimes is borderline astonishing. That kind of ignorance does not have to be. If it continues, it could be tragic. The Lord God has given us His Word. It is without error, the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it is infallible. I like that word. The Word of God is infallible. It is inspired. The Word of God is eternal. It is food for your soul. When we read the Bible, we are exposed to the very mind of God Himself. We need to read it a whole lot more and read it often. We need to be the people of the book, knowing its author intimately and understanding its message clearly. There is no excuse for any believer who owns a Bible, who can read it, who is able and capable of reading it, being ignorant of the Word of God. There's no reason for that at all. It is in our ignorance that the Word, it is our ignorance of the Word that explains the problem we have with the sin that's going around now. It is our ignorance of the Word of God that explains the problems we have in our relationships. It is our ignorance of the Word of God that explains why our churches are devoid of power, of empty life, dying in the vine. We need to repent of our neglect of the Word of God and pick up our Bibles and read it. I've spoken to extent about prayer, about intercession, about weapons, and everything else. And I've backed everything that I said by the Word of God. But if you don't read the Word of God, if the only time that you read the Word of God is in church, there's a problem. You're going to fail. You are going to fail. You will not know God's will. Knowing the Bible settles us. It gives us peace. It gives us hope. It gives us help. Folks, it gives us strength. Strength in all that we do. It helps us to know the God of heaven. And knowing Him teaches us how to walk in this world. Knowing Him teaches us how to make our lives count for the glory and honor of God. My question to you right now is this: do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible here? Yes?
Yes.
Read it. Read it. This is what the Lord is saying right now. Read your Bible, because the Lord wants to speak to you. Read it. Love it. Live it. Your Bible will keep you from being spiritually stupid. Am I plain enough? Is this plain enough? I'm saying all of this with love, folks. I'm using some strong words this morning. But I hope you understand what the Word of God is trying to say right now. You don't want to be spiritually ignorant. And too much of the church nowadays, they just come in to punch their card to soothe their conscience. They think they're doing the right thing. But in actuality, they're missing out on a whole lot. Read your Bible. It will make you wise in the ways of the Lord. And it will open your eyes to the schemes of the enemy. By all means. Now, I'm going to wrap this up because I feel as though I've said enough here so far. You do not have to live like the world around you right now. You don't have to live like how everybody else right now is living, how they're conducting themselves. Your life can count and leave a legacy behind when you leave this earth. You do not have to be spiritually deceived and ignorant. We can walk in wisdom if we will follow the clear guidelines given to us that is in one place, and that is the Word of God. If we will simply take His Word and make it the rudder of our lives, steer our lives, we will sail a straight course through this world. No matter what happens in this world, we will live a life that honors God and gives light to the world all around us because they need that light that you have. I will close now with a couple of questions that I want to give you, and I want you to think about it. The first one is this: how is your walk with the Lord right now? Are you like most churches right now that you see down the street? You're just going and coming. Do you know God's will in your life? Do you know God's purpose, His perfect plan for your life? No, I mean, do you truly know? Think about this question. Are you walking in wisdom? Or are you walking in ignorance? This is a legitimate question, folks. It's a real question. The Bible clearly instructs us for us to know the will of God and not walk unwise. And now, this leads to my next question right now. How is your relationship with the Word of God? How is that bond between you and your Bible? I have known people who cannot be away from their Bible. I've met people like that before. In my childhood years, in my teenage years. It's been a while since I've come across somebody like that, to be perfectly transparent. But I have met people who literally get sick if they forgot their Bible at home. To a lot of us, that's how we feel about our cell phones. Right? You leave out of the house without your cell phone, oh, give me death. No. Now, I'm not saying that, oh, I should walk around with my Bible and all of this. I'm not directly saying that. And then someone might say, well, I have my Bible on my phone. All right, smarty pants. No problem. Hey, there we go. But now, let me revert back to the original question. How is your relationship with the Word of God? That's what I want you to think about right now. How is that relationship? Do you read it? Do you read the Word of God? Do you live it? That's important. If you read it, if you meditate it, you will live God's purpose in your life. You will know God's purpose. You will know His plans. And therefore, you will have wisdom. It's so simple. You see how simple it is? I've brought a lot of things to your attention right now. But it just boils down to these things. Amen, church? Let me do something right now. Let me have everybody close your eyes right now. At this moment right now, I want to give an altar call for anyone who wants to dedicate their life to God. That's fundamental. There must be a time, there has to be a time when you came and said, Lord, I give my life to you. I dedicate my life to you, Lord. It needs to be recorded in heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you want to make sure that your name is written in the book of life. And this is how you do it. All that we do, either good or bad, will be judged. First, you want to give your life to the Lord. And then you want to spend time with your Bible. And live what the good book tells you to live. But now I want to give the opportunity for anyone to give their life to the Lord this morning. Anyone? With your eyes closed, with everyone's eyes closed, I'm going to say this prayer right now for all of those who I don't see, who's watching me through this lens right now, online. I don't want you to have an excuse one day and say, Lord, I never had the opportunity. I didn't know how to do it, or any of that. So I'm going to say a prayer right now. And you just repeat after me at this very moment. And I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think of heaven. I want you to imagine a throne. I want you to imagine somebody sitting on that massive, beautiful, majestic, you name it, throne. Think about the most beautiful throne you've ever seen in your life. Now think about that throne shining. I mean, rays coming off of it. And you just approaching that throne and kneeling down and then saying these words right here. I want you to say this. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs that I have done. And I ask you right now to wash me with the blood of your Son, Jesus. And cleanse me and purify me. Lord, I wish for my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Please, Lord, I want to live for you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me as part of the family. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And in conclusion right now, still in the spirit of prayer and worship right now, I dedicate, Lord, this message to you. I pray, Lord, that your people will hunger and thirst, Lord, for righteousness. Lord, you are righteous. And your book, Lord, teaches us all that we have to do to walk, Lord, in this earth with wisdom, with freedom, with joy, with compassion, with love, peace, understanding of all things. Lord, you are the root of all wisdom. And Lord, right now I pray that your people, Lord, will dedicate themselves to not only spending time speaking to you, Lord, and worshiping you, and praying and seeking your face, but also knowing your will. And knowing your perfect will comes from studying your word, spending time in your word, reading your word, meditating on your word, feeding, Lord, the inner man. Lord, we bless your name and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is inside all of us, Lord, that you have sealed us, all of those that by faith have accepted you. And the salvation, Lord, that you have promised all of us through your Son. Thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guides us and leads us through every step of the way. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk this life of ours as being wise and not, Lord, foolish and not unwise. We bless your holy name, Lord. We exalt your holy name. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.